Good morning. Before I get started, there's just a little housekeeping business. Apparently, there's a blue car with a white top that is parked outside in front of a hydrant. So if that happens to be one of your vehicles, I don't think my message is worth the ticket. So you can exit for a few minutes to take care of that. But maybe it is. We'll see. My name is Kristen Farrell, and I'm on the preaching team here at Revive Wesleyan. And I don't know what I did right or did wrong, but Keith lets me come about one time a year. So here I am. I was here last Mother's Day, not a couple months ago, but the year before that. And I just love being here. I love the worship. I love listening to JP. I love seeing all of you. It's just such a great place to be. The Holy Spirit always feels present, and just there's just always a sweet, sweet spirit here. So thanks for having me. And we're starting a new series today called Traveling Light. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's an oxymoron. We just spent our first ever spring break vacation. We went to Arizona. It was the first time my 9-year-old boys were on a plane, the second time for my 13-year-old daughter. And I got to tell you, we were a caravan of five, meeting my sister and her family, another caravan of five, and my mom. So there were 11 of us traveling through Arizona, and let me tell you, it was everything but light. Now, I read an article that said traveling has so many benefits. It doesn't matter where you go or how long you go, any of that stuff, that there's a lot of benefits, but there's also a lot of burdens of traveling. And for me, the biggest burden is packing. Like, I'm terrible at it. And especially for this trip to Arizona, there were five of us. And we were going into a climate that went to 50 degrees at night and 110 during the day. So it was like, it felt like we needed like sweatshirts and tank tops. And we were doing some outdoor adventure stuff, but we were also going to try to go to like a nice restaurant. So we needed grubby adventure clothes, but we also needed, you know, nice things to wear. And, you know, was traveling with kids and, you know, one of them's going to throw up, right? So we need some like Dramamine for the car sickness medicine. We need extra outfits. You know, they get headaches, so I needed to bring headache medicine and cough drops. And it is not my gift to travel light. And so I kind of laugh at this. I'm like, oh, I'm the one to introduce this? But I think some of you might feel similar in our daily lives. The burden, even as we sing, you know, the burdens on Monday come rushing in. And what does it mean for us as Christians as we follow God to travel light through our faith, to walk this journey of faith in a way that we don't feel burdened, because we don't have to. And it's so easy sometimes to feel hopeless and helpless as we go through our lives and we experience terrible things. And we don't necessarily have to feel heavy and burdened while we do that. Now, some of you might be saying, yeah, Kristen, you're here once a year. You don't know my story. You don't know the heavy, heavy burdens that I carry. And you're right. I don't. But I know the God we serve. That is what I do know. And we're going to dive in this morning, and we're going to talk about the nature of God. We're going to talk about what his hope and dream for us is as we travel light through this life. Now, this whole message series is actually based on a book by Max Licato called Traveling Light. And so I'll refer to that, and I'm sure Keith will in the weeks to come. It's a really compelling read that the preaching team felt like was worth sharing, but it goes into these concepts a lot deeper with a lot more detail than we can handle like for 20 minutes or 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. It won't be 45 minutes. I'll keep it under 20. So we're here today, and we're going to talk about what that means, this concept that we are not meant to live with the many burdens we carry. We're not meant to live that way. And, you know, sometimes I hate when people say, oh, you're a Christian, what a crutch, right? It's the easy way out. And I think you couldn't be more wrong, right? Even Scripture says that you will experience trials of every kind. Living the Christian life isn't the easy path. It isn't taking the way out. We still carry just as many burdens as people who haven't decided to follow God. But even though those trials and those burdens are inevitable, the heaviness in the way we carry them doesn't have to be. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. There it is again, rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This scripture promises us that that Jesus, as we walk alongside him, can ease our burdens, that he will be with us for it, that he will bring rest and refreshment to us on our journeys, which sometimes feels so far from where we currently are. And he uses this word picture of a yoke. And some of, I don't know why I think of like Cracker Barrel or some, you know those restaurants that like decorate with wagon wheels? I feel like they always have a yoke. And the yoke, it kind of, it's like a wooden, almost like a little wooden beam with two U-shaped attachments to it. And it was a farm equipment that was used to bind two oxen together. And so Jesus uses this word picture that says, take on my yoke. Take my yoke upon me, upon you and learn from me. So we have this picture of two oxen working together, which may seem like teamwork makes the dream work, but it's actually a little bit more nuanced than that. You see, when people used yokes, when farmers used yokes, what they would often do is they would take an experienced oxen, an experienced ox who was stronger, who kind of knew the ropes, who was a skilled worker, and they would pair this mature, skilled ox with a young, inexperienced one who didn't really have any skills but had lots of potential. And so you can kind of see then what Jesus meant here, right? He didn't say, hey, 50-50. He was saying 90-10. Right? 100% zero. I am here to guide you. I am here to walk alongside of you. And often how it went is that the brunt of the work would actually fall on the mature ox who already knew what he was doing. And so this idea is that we, in our ability to let go of our burdens, to yoke ourselves with Jesus, that not only are our burdens lighter, but through the process of lightening our burdens, we also learn as we walk alongside Jesus through him carrying our burdens. So it's a pretty cool word picture there. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 5-7, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Does that sound like the religion that you've experienced? Does that sound like the God that you're following? Hopefully the church that you're here, that you are experiencing, this is a safe refuge, a place where your burdens are lessened. Not the hamster wheel of do's and don'ts, but a way of life where reliance on Jesus actually means more strength, not weakness. Because as I said before, we weren't made to carry the burdens of life alone. So once we establish that truth, right, Licato goes into his book, and the whole premise of the book and what we'll be doing the next few weeks is we're going to take Psalm 23, one that many of you are familiar with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're going to take that and we're going to go painfully slow through it. Today we're going to cover, wait for it, the first two verses. You may think, the first two verses, how are we going to fill up time with the first two verses? But what's really exciting about the first words that David uses in the Psalm 23:1 is he says, the Lord. And if you're like me and you're reading through the Psalms, I might skip through that, like brush by it to get to the good stuff. But the fact that David starts his Psalm with the phrase, the Lord, is really significant. Because the Lord is Hebrew for Yahweh. And Yahweh, we know, is God's name, not his title. So I have lots of titles, right? I'm a mom, I'm a teacher, I'm a friend, I'm a daughter. But if you really want to know me, if you really want a relationship with me, if you really want to build intimacy, you won't call me by my title. You would call me by my name Kristen. And that's the same, that is exactly what David is doing here. There were lots of names all throughout Jewish history that David could have started this psalm at. God Almighty, God Everlasting, God Most High. But instead, David says Yahweh, the Lord. It's more personal because it's God's name. God revealed this name to him first with Moses, right? When God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. He is who he is, the existing one. And so you might be thinking, that's interesting, but why is that significant? Why does it even matter? And why it matters, in the next couple minutes, we're going to just talk about this idea of how our mind can't even comprehend God. He just exists. And the power of the I am who I am, the power of the name Yahweh, is in its simplicity. He just is and was and is to come. And that's frustrating for us. We want to put it into words. We like to define things. And so there's just three little concepts I'll throw out as we wrap our heads around this idea of I am. He simply is. Is one, that God is uncaused. You know, we work on these messages as a team, and I was like, uncaused? I don't even know what that means. But it's this concept, right, that like God creates, but he was never created. He just always was. That he makes, but he was never made. Then that he causes, but nothing was caused before him. And so if your head is spinning, that's good. It means that you're paying attention, actually. It's this idea that God is so beyond our comprehension. This summer, we were in the Adirondacks with my family, and I was there with my sister, lots of us. But one day, we got in this conversation. It was my sister, my brother-in-law, and my husband, and we were talking about the nature of love. And love, maybe not for you, but as we started talking about it, it started to feel really complicated. Is it a choice? Is it an obligation? Is it an emotion? What's the difference between the way I love my kids versus the way I love my husband versus the way I love my mom versus the way I love pizza, right? Like, it is a big, like, love, if you really start digging into it, and of course, it was one of those, like, late night over a fire moments, like, wow, love is, like, it's a big concept. And we returned to that concept kind of the next day, and this conversation just kept on going. And it dawned on me at one point where it just, after all these different, you know, verbal back and forths, like, I just don't know. Like, it is beyond my comprehension to understand that if God is love, and God has perfect love, and God loves us, you know, like, I hate to land there, but that's kind of where we landed, right? That it's this concept that for us to is our understanding of it is just going to be a shadow of what it really is, and that is the God we serve. That his nature is we can try to put names on it, and we should keep asking the questions, but at the end of the day, we're out of our league of understanding. And that's not an unintelligent faith. That's not just a blind faith. This is this idea that, like, we are acknowledging that God is a big, complex God that is so beyond what we conceive of. So God is uncaused. He is also unchanging. That is a little easier for us to wrap our heads around. But if you think about it, we live in a world that is in constant change. You know, I know that, like, I look in the mirror and, like, this is changing. These gray hairs weren't here a year ago. This, like, very concerned wrinkle was also not. I look at old pictures and I think, man, my face has changed, right? I look at my kids. They are a manifestation of the fact that things change. They keep growing up and growing different and interacting differently. Your houses, your cars, what happens when you don't pay attention to them? They change. They deteriorate. Right? We live in a changing world. Everything changes. The nature of our relationships change. They need just as much upkeep as the physical things in this world. The closest thing that I've ever come to of this concept of unchanging is back to the Adirondacks. We have a place up there, and I haven't missed a summer in 45 summers. And I go sit on the beach there, and I look at the landscape, and I am so comforted by the fact that something stays the same, right? You can hold on to something that stays the same in this world of chaos. And yet, every season, it just still changes. The landscape changes. And I know that the mountains are eroding and there's different trees that are, you know, there that weren't there. And so that is just, again, a shadow of a concept of what it means to be unchanging. But God is unchanging. His love, his care, his sovereignty is unchanging. It is dependable. And this is the Yahweh that says, let me carry your burdens alongside of you. And we need to not keep making our God so small. Psalm 102:25 puts it this way, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. We should find immense comfort in a changing world that God never does. And this last little point is that God is ungoverned. We are governed by so many things. I don't know about you, but my morning routine is to wake up and to check the weather. My life is governed by the weather, right? In today's heat and humidity, my choice for the day will be to do as little as possible, right? We are governed by the weather. We are governed by gravity. We are governed by time, by taxes, by government, by schedules, by bosses, by, if you have a two-year-old, right? Our lives are governed by so many forces. God? Not so much. He is not governed by gravity. He commands it. He's not governed by weather. He makes it. God is completely ungoverned. He's completely sovereign. And he wants to carry your burdens. He wants to walk alongside of you. And that is good news this morning. And yet, we still seek to create our own gods, to change our God, to govern our God. Because one of the heaviest burdens that we carry are the burdens of lesser gods that we carry along the way, that we collect, that we define, that we try to govern. And that might not sound like a burden, but we do. In our attempt to lighten the load, maybe fly under God's radar, maybe kind of do life our own way, sometimes we prefer like a low-key God. All that sovereignty is really intense. Maybe we want like a mid-God, right? We want maybe a light version of God, because sometimes that God just feels a little too demanding, we think. Or maybe the Christian God is a little too oppressive. The problem with that, though, is the lesser gods that we create are never going to be relational. They're always going to be transactional. The book gives us three different types of God that you might connect with. The first one they talk about is a genie God, like a rub the lamp, three wishes kind of God. I like to also think about this kind of God as like a vending machine God, right? We only call on God when we need something. It's very transactional. It's based on our needs, not on his sovereignty. And the best thing about this kind of job is while he's cheerful and giving, he's not really available. Even though he will let us wish for 10 more wishes every time we make a wish. It's, again, very transactional. Some of us have a Wizard of Oz God. This God's like a little angry and definitely unavailable, but sometimes we need that God to like motivate us, right? To kick us in the pants, to say, today's gonna be different. And so if we have an angry God, sometimes, believe it or not, that feels comforting because at least we know what we're getting with him. But that kind of God stays behind the curtain, just like the Wizard of Oz guy does, right? And he presses all these big buttons on his console. And most of you know the story that Dorothy and her friends are just left to their own devices because this God is also transactional and also not very available. Some of you may picture God as a busy dad kind of a God. And so you can go through the week and you can fly under the radar and that feels really nice. And then Sunday morning, you like put on your Sunday best, you come to church and, you know, you want to be on your best behavior because, you know, your Sunday busy dad God will be there. But the benefit you think of that God is that the rest of the week you can kind of do what you want. But you'll see a repetitive theme here. That kind of God, pretty transactional, not very relational, and oftentimes unavailable. So the problem with our lesser gods is that they might be convenient, they're not very powerful. We like to put these gods on our shelves, we like to take them off when we think it's convenient, but at the end of the day, we understand, especially in light of our burdens, that we don't just need a transaction, We need a relationship. We are wired that way. And those kinds of gods, when we're left on our own, they leave us unsatisfied. Sometimes they lead us to give up on our faith or to switch from one concept of God to another, to have a God buffet and just take what we want when we want it. Maybe sometimes we're just trying to earn good enough credits, right? And we just want to break even. But in an attempt to lessen the load, we increase it. We increase our burdens when we create these lesser gods. And so David continues in his psalm to define what kind of God God is. Not the Wizard of Oz, not the genie, not the dad. In fact, he says, Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd God. The Lord is my shepherd. And sometimes that's like, well, like, oh, great, a dirty farm worker who, like, hangs out with smelly sheep all the time. Like, that's the God that we're serving? Like, that's what he does? Maybe you want, like, Yahweh is my commander. I have all the weapons I need. Or, you know, Yahweh is my sugar daddy, so I can buy whatever I want. Or Yahweh is my personal trainer, so I can have the strength for every task. Or Yahweh is my life coach, so I can make, you know, good decisions and avoid pain and be prosperous. But Yahweh is my shepherd? Why is that so significant? Well, but before David was a poet and a king and a warrior, he was a shepherd, and he knew more than anything that to be a good shepherd, you needed to be available to your sheep 24/7. He knew that you need to know your sheep. You had to know the nature of them. You needed to be accessible to them, that it wasn't just a Sunday job. David was so smart when he calls God our shepherd God, because he knows that shepherds would protect them against enemies, that a shepherd would care for their wounds, that a shepherd would guide them so they wouldn't get lost and chase after them even when they go astray, because David knew the nature of humans. He himself understood what it meant to go astray when he often did, and he knows that we would too. So when he says, Yahweh is my shepherd, that is the God that will carry our burdens. That is the God who will come alongside of us. A shepherd God is exactly the kind of God that we need. But perhaps the most tempting of the lesser gods is ourselves. Arguably, that was the first sin, right, in the Garden of Eden. The first sin was that humans rejected God's sovereignty and said, I can do it myself. I can be like God. And if you've tried that, like I have, it doesn't take long to know that it is completely ineffective. Ourselves as God, can we ensure that we will lack nothing? You might think so. But you'll know that you will be running on empty. And as JP prayed this morning, we come here to get filled up. Go ahead and try to fill yourself up, right? I say that to myself all the time. How's that working for you, Kristen? And the answer is always not great. And so we see that when we follow the lesser gods, the lesser God of ourselves, the burden that we continue to try to lessen just increases. Because the burden of a lesser God is dangerous because it promotes self-reliance. But self-reliance, that's like salt of the earth, right? We build ourselves on that. We are a pull up our bootstraps, American pride, do it yourself, you know, independence. Isn't that the way to go? It is not the path of Jesus. Sometimes we rely too much on our own resources, our own abilities, our own talents, and we can never fulfill our needs the way God can. I'm going to have you take a little quiz and see how you do with it, okay? True or false? You can always control your own emotions or moods. You are at peace with everyone. You have no fears. You have no faults. You need no forgiveness. I fail on every single one of those points. I will never be the God of myself because I am completely, completely helpless. And it is that proof, right, is that knowledge that I know that I am utterly, desperately dependent on God. And that is the place that we come to. We don't want to be dirty, defenseless sheep, but guess what? That's who we are. And like I said in the beginning, I don't know what your story is, but I know who your God is. And he is a big God who can overcome all these obstacles when he bears the burdens with us. Because if I had to write Psalm 23, it would probably sound something like this. I am my own shepherd. I am always in need. I make myself work to the bone and then collapse in a heap. My soul is in turmoil, so I binge junk food and Netflix. If I even get a whiff of the valley of the shadow of death, I go into panic mode. I fear everything and buy all manner of products to help me cope. I go to work and I'm surrounded by my enemies. I go home and it's no better. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol. My drink of choice runneth over. Surely worry and weariness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in self-doubt forever. That would be our psalm if we try to do it on our own. So David knows that that self-reliance leaves us on empty. And he continues those verses in these different translations that we'll look at. Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. And can you say the same of those genie gods, of the God that you put on yourself, of the God buffet? I can't. The dictionary definition of the meaning of Yahweh, of the word shepherd, the second Hebrew definition is also this: special friend. So Yahweh, who is our shepherd, who wants to help carry our burdens, is also our close companion. He wants to help us emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And so the whole idea is this: we have an unchanging, uncaused, ungoverned God who is a shepherd and a special friend who is willing and able to care for us if only we let him. So we say, how's that working for you? This God of the universe who wants to be in relationship with you, who wants to say, let me come alongside, learn from me, I will help you know the way of Jesus, I will help you with your struggles. How are you doing at traveling light? Because it's not the burdens, it's the God you serve. It's the God that I serve. And we do not need to pack our bags. We do not need to be weighted down with the heaviness that life gives us day after day after day, if only we're willing to submit, to acknowledge that we can't do it on our own, to recommit, sometimes every day, sometimes I know for me every hour, that I am not God, you are. Yahweh, you are a cosmic force that is unchanging, that is hard for me to conceive, that is hard for me to comprehend, but I have faith in the God who loves me, who wants a relationship with me, and who will be with me throughout this life to ease my burdens, because his word says so. Because he loved us so much that he gave his son to die on a cross and say, bring your burdens to the cross, the bottom of the cross, with your sins, with your worry, with your anxiety, and I will take it upon me so you don't have to live that way. That is the God we serve, and that is good news this morning. So the worship team, you can come up as we close this section in prayer. God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that even though I know these truths, when I hear them again, I'm recommitted, I'm reconvicted of the way that you love us, even though we're so unworthy. Lord, that we cannot do this on our own. And when we try, we get burdened by the weight of life. We carry baggage that is in excess, Lord. And that you don't actually want us to live that way. You want us to be yoked to you, Lord, so that we can release our burdens to you, so that we can learn from you, Lord, so that we can be humble, Lord, so that we can understand what it is to have your strength in place of our weakness, Lord, so that we can understand what it means to be a part of the community and the kingdom of God that you so generously have given us. Lord, give us eyes this week to see your goodness, to understand what it means to serve a God who is unchanging, that is dependable in his love and his sovereignty. We thank you for the gift of who you are, Jesus, and we pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.